Here we go. See, now I'm very tall this morning. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We welcome you, whether this is your first time in worship or you have been here your whole life. This morning is our Fusion Sunday, an opportunity where we have to be a bit creative, a bit out of the box, and try to be inclusive of people of all ages and wherever you are in your faith journey. Just a reminder, if you are worshiping with young folks today, please make sure that they have a bulletin and are able to follow along. And also that the offering plate, they have a chance to also pass it. And as the children will be with us in worship today, they are also encouraged to share prayers of joy and prayers of concern during the prayers of people. In your bulletin, you will also notice a bright yellow sheet of paper. You will receive more instructions during the sermon, but if you want to make sure that you have a pen, a pencil, a crayon, some writing utensil handy, that way you can also participate. We'll place those in the offering plate and have a chance to share in them later in the service. We have a few announcements just as we begin this morning, and then we are going to open our congregational meeting, and I apologize to our guests and visitors. We have just a little bit of business to do, and then we will get right to worship. But first, Jenny, you had an announcement this morning. Just be careful of the step.
I feel very tall. I wanted to let you know that we decided to do the flea market again this year, so I'd like you to save the date. Same as last year, it's this first Saturday in June, this year June 3rd. And also, if you would be willing, please save your books. Last year, we let you know a little bit later, and we didn't get as many books as we hoped to. So save your books. And we'll see what happens this year. After last year's success with wedding dresses, who knows what's going to happen this year? Thank you.
And I know as folks are watching the news and reading your Facebook feeds, a lot of questions and conversations are coming up about how can we respond and how can we as a church talk and do more together. So it's not in your bulletin. It's something that I just decided this morning, but mark your calendars next Sunday following worship, so 11:15, 11:30, we'll gather in the adult lounge for a conversation on faith and politics. You are welcome to join us and to have a chance to talk together within the context of a faith community. All right, so here is the order of the day, the agenda, if you will, friends. We're going to open the congregational meeting. We have one item of business, that is to elect Tess McKeel as elder of session. We are not going to adjourn the meeting. Worship is going to be part of our time together. And following the benediction, all are welcome, even if you brought some soup or not, to join us down in Fellowship Hall, where, yes, once you get down there, just start eating. Grab some soup and a salad, dessert, have a seat, enjoy some time together. And then we'll continue with the informational items of the congregational meeting, and then we'll conclude with a time of prayer. And folks, everyone is also welcome to stay for our congregational conversation. You can see the blue flyer there in your bulletin. It will tell you more. So let us pause for a moment of prayer. Holy and loving God, we give thanks for this day, for the opportunity to indeed be your church. Be with us in our business, in our worship, and in our conversations together. In your holy name, we pray. Amen. A quorum is most definitely present, and we have one item of business from the nominating committee, and that is to elect Tess McKeel to the position of elder. So I'll open nominations. Are there any others from the floor? Seeing none, is there a motion to close nominations? Yep, see it. All in favor, yes. Yes, we're all good. And so we will now take a vote to elect Tess McKeel to the position of elder. All in favor, please say alleluia.
Alleluia.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you all. This means we can do things decently and in order and celebrate in the ordination and installation of all of our leaders in worship today. And now, friends, let us continue indeed in our time of worship together.
Please stand for call to worship. How shall we worship our God? To do justice. To love kindness. walk humbly, following in the steps of Jesus, lifting up not the work of our hands, but the power that stands our service.
Friends, we gather in worship, bringing all that we are, all the ways in which we have failed, all that we have left undone. Let us pray together. In our success-oriented society, we have learned to fulfill requirements in order to earn high marks on school assignments, to achieve an extra bonus or a promotion in our jobs, and even to catch special accolades from peers. Yet to work for justice, mercy, and humility doesn't come with earthly rewards. In fact, quite the opposite. If we were to truly serve those whom God serves, the cost would be high, and we risk losing the status, power, and privilege with which we are comfortable. In confession, God, we can no longer feign ignorance. You have indeed shown us what you require. May we be willing to pay the price for you and your kingdom here on earth. Amen. God has called us and blesses us when we live God's ways and not the world's. God's love embraces us even when we fall short of what God desires for our lives and our actions. Know that the God of blessing loves and forgives us with a fierce tenderness. And in so knowing, may our lives be transformed. And at this time, the children are welcome to come forward. You're hungry? Yeah, me too. All right. Will you stand up with me? All right. I know. And I'm hungry, and we're going to smell all those yummy smells from down in Fellowship Hall all morning. But we'll get there. All right. Can we start with a game? Yes, maybe. I think you guys know this game, right? Simon Says. Can you guys do this one? It's not even going to be a trick. It's going to be super easy, but it'll get our blood flowing. If anyone in the congregation wants to play, you're welcome to, too, especially if you're cold. It definitely helps. Ready? Simon Says, run in place. You guys run in place with me? All right. I think you're missing the point of the game. Simon Says, stop. Okay. Now, Simon Says, touch your head. Simon Says, point your fingers up. Simon Says, give someone nearby or yourself a hug. Does that work? There we go. Perfect. Oh, you guys are so good. Okay, you can sit down. Oh, wait. Simon didn't say. It doesn't matter. Have you guys played that game before? Yes. It's always helpful to play Simon Says with a leader, right? Because then you know not only by what they say, by what the person does, what you're supposed to do next. Sometimes that can get tricky. We won't get into that today. All right. Because today, we together, you guys will be here too, are going to have the opportunity to celebrate the ordination and installation. That's kind of a strange word. I still think it is. It just means that we are going to celebrate the new leaders of our church. So we have names for them: elders, deacons, and trustees. And they have a chance to answer some pretty important questions. You guys will have a chance to listen for those too. But these are the leaders of the church. And sometimes people get a little nervous about that word leader. It makes them a little uncomfortable because they aren't quite sure, what are we supposed to be doing if we're a leader? Well, we are in luck because throughout the stories of the Bible, and especially in Jesus, we have learned by his words and actions how we are to follow and be his leaders in the world today. And we today, so I had you do a little bit of Simon Says because one of the great questions, my favorite question, that we have a chance to ask those leaders is to serve with energy and intelligence, imagination, and love. Remember when I had you run in place? It takes, you'll be the intelligence? Okay, all right. That works for me. Someone got energy? Any of you guys have energy? You've got energy. I'm telling you. How about imagination? Any of you guys have imagination? All right, good. How about love? You got some of that? Do you want to be the love too? No, just the intelligence. Got it. But you know what? One of the great things about being a church together is sometimes we don't have all of just one thing. And so when we all come together, we bring all of what God needs for us to be the church today. So I'm glad you all are here. Can we pray together? Yes? Dear God, thank you for showing us how to be leaders of your church. Amen. All right, you guys are in worship today, all day, so if you get a little wiggly, that's all right. If the adults you came with get a little wiggly, tell them to calm down. All right.
Psalm 15. Who can live in your tent, Lord? Who can dwell on your holy mountain? The person who lives free of blame, does what is right, and speaks the truth sincerely. Who does no damage with their talk, does no harm to a friend. Someone who despises those who act wickedly, but who honors those who honor the Lord. Someone who keeps their promise, even when it hurts. Someone who doesn't lend money with interest, who won't accept a bribe against any innocent person. Whoever does these things will never stumble.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the prophet Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with God's people, and God will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before God on high, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So nearly a century before a tweet became something more than the sound a bird makes, there existed this literary genre supposedly attributed to Ernest Hemingway. Though I'm going to put it out there, lest I be accused of presenting alternative facts, that the claim Hemingway was any way involved in this remains unsubstantiated. So the story goes that he and a few of his writing buddies launched a $10 bet over lunch. Hemingway bet them that he could craft an entire story in 6 words. 6. Legend has it that he came up with the following: for sale, baby shoes never worn. What has come to be known as the six-word story has served as a writing prompt to challenge writers at various levels for decades now, to display creative and engaging and succinct stories. A few years ago, some of the journalists at the New York Times rediscovered the exercise and solicited stories from everyday people. The collections were published, of course, online, but they even made it to print. And now, these are different, though, than if you go to Google, which you're welcome to do. They're different than what you see as internet memes, you know, the catchy phrases associated with grumpy cats and babies making cute faces. These kind of things make us laugh. You find them on Facebook, Pinterest, and Reddit. But the six-word story tells us something about a person. It's a window into their life and their relationships, and yes, even their faith. They can be humorous and sometimes irreverent. A couple of my favorites: he forgot the coffee, she imploded. It happens in my house a lot. I still dance to Octopus's Garden. Handshakes are good, hugs are better. Frona, that's for you. All right. They can also speak some real, even unpleasant truth. Recovery never really ends, does it? It's our 50th, table for one. Introduced myself to my mother again. You can say a lot in just 6 words. And so I began to wonder if this 6-word story format that can express so much about the human condition might also work for our faith. We know that we live in a time when succinctness is so popular. Twitter, Facebook ask us to distill our lives into these really small fragments. And admittedly, at its worst, such means of communication are distant and shallow, sometimes even harmful. But at its best, can be powerful and inviting, and in my experience, a worthy challenge. Well, at any rate, I don't encounter too many clergy who are accused of using too few words. If we stop just talking about ourselves, though, for a minute, does the 6-word story still deliver? Could there be a 6-word gospel? Maybe even better yet, a 6-word sermon, if you were hoping for that. Obviously, it's a little too late. But I think a lot can be said about the life of faith, about God, about Jesus, about the teachings in the Bible, the poetry and stories of God's people. With just 6 words. Here are just a few. God said, "Let there be light." It rained 40 days and nights. And I will be your God. Moses said, "Let my people go." Love the stranger. You were strangers. By waters of Babylon we wept. God asked, "Can these bones live?" To you is born this day. Whoever welcomes one child welcomes me. Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" God, why have you forsaken me? He is not here. He is risen. The question this morning offered by the prophet takes a slight turn on this concept, wondering, what does the Lord require of you? Or to put it another way, what is God asking of us? We know the response by memory, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. The English translation of the Hebrew throws in a few extra prepositions and affects our word count, but you get the idea. Here, in these verses, in these simple words, Micah establishes so much of what we cling to about our faith today. Every story that wrenches our hearts and makes us want to reach out. You've heard them just this week. I don't need to recount every headline. But the ban on refugees and Muslims, walls of hate and exclusion, putting profit and politics before people, all of this is bound up in those 2 simple words. Do justice. And we are called to love kindness. Love, hesed, that glorious Hebrew word that defines the English translation. The NRSV, which I read from, calls it kindness. Other translations substitute mercy. Hesed. It has that sense of the covenantal loyalty that God holds for God's people. Hesed is God's steadfast love, So Micah calls us to seek and love that amazing, near incomprehensible love that God has for all of God's people. And then Micah calls us into that personal relationship with God. What does Micah say this relationship looks like? To walk humbly. We do not and cannot know everything there is to know. And while what we learn about the various ways we can grow in faith and knowledge, once we think that we know somehow greater than the faith of those we are called to serve, we have missed the point entirely. In a few moments, we will ordain and install elders and deacons and trustees of the church. We ask them, using a lot of words in true Presbyterian fashion, but to affirm what they believe that God is asking them of as leaders. They don't stand before you claiming they know more than anyone else sitting here or out in the world knows. They're answering call. What God is asking of them: to follow Jesus, to love neighbors, to work for reconciliation, to serve with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, to further the peace and unity and purity of the church. Definitely more than six words, but you get the idea. And I hope you get the idea. Because if you aren't awake and paying attention, now is the time. I want you to grab that yellow piece of paper that's in your bulletin. We will ask the elders, deacons, and trustees, what is God asking of them? But we can't ask them without asking ourselves the same question. As followers of Jesus, as Christians living in the world today, what is God asking of us? So I'm going to give you a few moments. John is going to play some music. And I would like you to respond to that question as a story with just six words. Don't overthink this, says the person who overthinks everything. So I realize I'm asking you to do something that may challenge you. You don't need to write your name on it, and you'll have a few moments even past the music plays, because we're going to collect them in the offering plates, okay? So as the offering comes around, stick your yellow piece of paper in there. You don't have to put your name on it. I'll say that again. And we're going to pull them out, and I'm going to share a few of them during the benediction. It's a reminder what God is asking of us, together, the church, you as individuals, but we, friends, are the church together. And then I'll lay them out on the communion table. You can take a look at them as you head down to the potluck. And I'll share more of them in upcoming bulletins and other opportunities. What is God asking of us? As I said, you can keep working. It's all right. But we are also going to sing together. And Roy's going to explain a little bit about what we're going to be doing here with the next hymn.
Let's sing together hymn number 70, What Does the Lord Require of You? We'll sing the three parts consecutively, 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll sing them as a round, starting with this side of the congregation on part 1, and then going on to part 2, we'll bring in this side of the congregation, starting in verse 1, so part 1, and then we'll add in the back part 3. If you can follow the choir members around you, they will lead you in the way you should go.
You may be seated unless you are Anne Marie Sim, Dick Stewart, Tess McKeel, and Thomas Kelly. I'm going to keep going down the list. Elders, I'm going to have you come and stand right here, please. Those who are elected to serve as deacons, Dan Charcola, Gary Dykes, Jim Poole, Velta Roshan, Julie Saeed, Osman Sim, Andrea Unson, Maya Charcola. All right, elders, deacons, you're going to form right in here if you're a deacon. There we go. Simon says, there we go. Thank you. All right. And those who are elected to serve as trustees and officers, Amy Merica, Marty Oman, Wayne Smith, Paul Wheeler, Michael Hassenlop, Vicky Gutile, and Tracy Berkovich. We'll have you guys go right in here, please. had you bring your bulletin. That's all right. Please join with me in the liturgy printed in your bulletin. In Christ, we are made one, and we all belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If your gift is to hear God's word, speak it out in faith. If your gift is service, live to serve others. If your gift is the heart of a teacher, teach us. We celebrate our individual gifts and affirm that we are all called in all things to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate in the name of Christ our commitment to nurture, support, and sustain the spiritual gifts of all gathered. May we be enjoined together this day in living out a shared ministry which emulates the life and witness of Christ. Holy God, bless this covenant of people ministering, responding to the promises of our baptism. May we witness your gifts in one another. May we grow together in joy and wisdom as we venture forth praising your spirit. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask all of you the same questions that are included in the Book of Order, the Constitution that, along with the Bible and the Book of Confessions, guides our ways together. So I ask all of you, do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? And do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be by the Holy Spirit the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal, and God's word to you? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic, reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Will you? Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? Will you be governed by our church's polity? Will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you? Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you? And will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? For those who are being elected as elders, will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? Congregation, do we, members of the church, accept Tess McKeel, Anne Marie Sim, Richard Stewart, and Thomas Kelly as elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Christ? Do we? That's good. Do we also agree to encourage them to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church, congregation, do we? And for our newly elected deacons, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? Congregation, do we, the members of this church, accept Jan Charcola, Maya Charcola, Gary Dykes, Jim Poole, Belta Roshan, Osman Sim, Andrea Unson, Julie Said, as deacons chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, do we? And do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church, do we? And the trustees, just the congregation that has to answer these questions, so you guys are in luck, off the hook. Friends, do we, the members of this church, accept Amy Merica, Marty Oman, Wayne Smith, Paul Wheeler, Michael Hasenlop, Tracy Berkovich, Vicky Gutile, as trustees and officers, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation, to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, fulfilling their fiduciary responsibilities, do we? With those who are being ordained for the first time, don't worry, I'll read your name. You're going to come stand right here at the communion table. Those who being ordained for the first time, Tess McKeel, Thomas Kelly, Dan Charcola, Maya Charcola, Gary Dykes, Julie Said. These, let's see, got everyone? I didn't miss anyone. And if you all would close the circle here and come lay on hands. All right. And I'm going to have all of you who are comfortable and if you are mobile to come forward to lay hands on the deacons and elders behind them. I changed the tradition here a little bit. I believe that in the way that we, our church, we share God's blessings all together. These are the leaders of our church. And whether you are a member or not, it doesn't matter. Come and share your support and your love here in this place. And let us pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Tess and Tommy and Dan, Maya, Gary, and Julie, as elders and deacons, that they may be faithful leaders in the church. Give them wisdom, courage, humility, and compassion to serve as the spiritual leaders of this family of faith in all things, that they may be servant leaders following Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life, to set others free. Amen. You all are now elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the light of Christ in this world, now and always. Amen. You can find your way back to your seat and share signs of Christ's peace with one another as you go. Of Christ be with you. You're welcome. And as we gather together as a community in worship, we share our prayers. Prayers of our hearts that are the joys and the concerns and We ask if you would like to share those prayers aloud to do so. Do it succinctly. It doesn't have to be 6 words, but you get the idea. Raise your hand, and an usher will be by with a microphone if you wish to share a prayer. See one over there.
Hi, Amy Merica. My father, he has been dealing with liver failure for quite some time, and he's meeting with Strong to see if he qualifies for a transplant, so prayers for that.
Amy, prayers for your dad.
This is a prayer of thanksgiving for my church family, who were so generous with meals and calls and cards and hugs. They all help in the healing. Thank you so much.
Glad to have you back.
Hi, good morning, Glad Crosdale. I'm going to be undertaking surgery tomorrow morning for my eyes. It's going to be a double duty, but we're starting with one, and then hopefully through next month we'll get the other one taken care of. It's laser surgery. I just need some prayers. Thank you.
Glad prayers for your upcoming eye surgeries.
Andrea Unson asking for prayers. My husband's uncle, Paul, passed away recently, 87 years old. And the Hilton bowling coach unexpectedly passed away at the age of 54. So prayers to the whole Hilton community.
Prayers for the Hilton community.
Whit Beckett, continued prayers for Dick Howell. He is home from the hospital. He's doing much better. He's strong enough to move around the house, and he sounds good on the phone, but continued recovery will be necessary, so continue to pray for him. It was an appendicitis, and he had his appendix removed.
And also prayers for Evie Ortman, who fell and broke her leg this week and is now at the Jewish home, and for Marge Westfall, who's been at Unity and has been moved to a nursing home. And if you would like Marge's new address, you can contact the office this week.
I have a prayer request. My sister-in-law has a mass on one of her lungs that needs to be tested, and I have an acquaintance who has to have a lobe in the lung removed because of cancer. Prayers for them, please.
Prayers for them. And also have a prayer request this morning from Alex. Prayers for her and her family. Her cat died last night. So prayers, Alex. Let us continue our time of prayer together. God of justice, kindness, and mercy, guide us in our lives to live the ways that you have taught us and set before us. Guide us to seek justice in all we do. Teach us to be kinder to all people and creation, to live with the reflection of your love in our hearts. This morning we pray, O God, for the refugees fleeing from persecution and violence in troubled lands across this world. Quench the fires of racism, greed, and religious hatred that threaten the life and well-being of so many. Help soften the hearts of neighbors and strangers as we meet them along their way. God, we pray for the peacemakers, the prophets of justice within and beyond our churches. Speak through them to denounce, rebuke, and reproach us, to challenge us, to provoke and inspire us. Raise up more and more people with Jesus' heart for justice, who do the hard work of putting dreams into practice. God, we pray for the courage to be different in the name of your Son, to speak above the clamor of all the voices on TV and the internet. Teach us to reject fear. Humble us so that we can receive from those who have little to give the image of Christ himself taking flesh among us. And we pray for those who are sick or in grief, especially the people whose poverty contributes to their sickness, whose grief is for them justice denied. Banish every shadow of terror and torture and hate. Come with resurrection hope, O God, to all who long for light in our darkness. We thank you, O God, for your faithful people in every generation who have spoken and acted for justice, who have built and tended community, who have known and done the things that make for peace. Hear us, help us, loving God. Do not let us rest until your just and gentle rule is established in this and all nations of the earth. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us, with joy and thanksgiving, offer back to God out of our abundance, the abundance that God has entrusted to each and every one of us. And also with those offerings, those yellow pieces of paper, now is the time to place them in the offering plate, and we'll share a few of those. Let us receive the morning offering. God, receive these gifts we bring, ourselves, our time, our possessions, and through your love, unite us as your body, shining the light of your justice and mercy for the sake of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. After worship. These are awesome. I encourage you to look at them, and they are going to find their way back out telling our story. Story of Gates Presbyterian Church and what God is asking of us. God is asking us unconditional love, require my vulnerability. Walk slowly. Listen to others. To love thy neighbor as thyself. Daily live your gratitude to God. Love. Respect, help all people. Still love. Strongly in difficult times. Be an example. Live life well. Wow. We go from this place knowing that we cannot do this alone, that we require God's help and the support and strength of one another, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit that it takes to get up and do it each and every day. So let's do that. Alleluia. Amen.